traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit energycitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
All right, here we go in 3, 2, 1. What's up, y'all? Welcome to the Sports Medicine Broadcast, Crisis Behavior. So Bubba's talk was actually crisis etiquette, but since I can't spell etiquette, I'm not even sure if I'm saying it correctly.
We have spell check, so yeah.
Well, but then people have to type it in and like spell check it and then copy and paste it into sportsmedicinebroadcast.com/crisis etiquette. So I just figure everybody could spell behavior. So this is sportsmedicinebroadcast.com/crisis behavior. Joseph Eberhardt is joining for his very first interview on the Sports Medicine Broadcast. He's going to be doing a couple more over the time here at the Sports Medicine Update. And Bubba, obviously you guys know. And then Sydney is over here taking notes, so maybe in one of these videos you'll be able to see her. So Sydney Hayes is a local athletic trainer. She's going to be just doing the show notes for this interview. Again, this is sportsmedicinebroadcast.com/crisis behavior. You got it, Joseph.
Well, hello, hello, everybody. A little bit about me. Bubba is the man, the myth, the legend who takes care of me at Dawson High School. That is my day job. I'm the SWATA member at large, and I was inspired by young. I met Bubba first as a high school student, and so he was a man who always had the right idea, you know, handled every crisis the right way. So it doesn't surprise me at all that he took over this AT Cares. I'd like to start off by congratulating you on the Hall of Fame.
Thank you. Your crisis management
or your background and experiences exposed you to be more prepared to be a Hall of Famer?
The AT's care part is what put me in the Hall of Fame, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
I'm lucky in that Joseph nominated me, so thank you again.
Well, thank you.
But I am lucky because I was the first District 6 rep to the AT's Care Commission for the NATA. And as I like to say, I think I scared Chris Hall when he was district director, and that he was like, this guy might beat me up if I don't put him in that position. And so it really goes back to I'm not going to beat the dead horse, but Jeremy and I have talked about it from his and Bill's incident way back when. That's really was the most current driving force in my desire to right or wrong, do something, you know, start a process, however you want to look at that. And it came from that. But, okay, I've done a lot of presentations and stuff, but if I'm honest, the AT's care position is probably what put me over.
I mean, I think it's revolutionary coming from I enjoyed always talking to you because we got that two ends of the spectrum. You've always been honest with me, and I appreciate it that this new generation, you know, we'll have some people talk about the millennials, the Xils, whatever type of acronym we want to kind of go in. And I think it's amazing that this forefront of our work-life balance, I think it adds into that. I think it adds into healthcare and mental illness. But I am curious a little bit more about this CCISM certificate, or I guess credential, is it the word I would use?
I have, okay. Yeah, the credential. So, yeah. So I am trained in critical incident stress management. When the first C on the CCISM is I am certified to teach critical incident stress management. If you want to get technical, I'm only certified to teach the first level of that right now.
Okay.
I'm cleared. I've done all the prereq work. I could go take the course to teach. So the first level is individuals in crisis. That's probably 95, 98% of what we deal with in AT's care. And then there's groups.
One-on-ones.
One-on-ones. You can do two-on-one, but it's a different model once you get
to
into
group.
Multiple, into a group. And then group is the next.
Okay.
It's not very often that we have to do that. I did my most recent one was April.
Okay.
I guess, but before that, it had been 2019. So it's not that often.
Yeah.
And so, but you still need some people trained. There's myself and 3 others in D6 that are trained in that, maybe 4 others off the top of my head. But we need a few to be trained in it. But most of what we do is one-on-one, two-on-one. Not to jinx anybody, but if there's an incident at a high school with 2 professional athletic trainers, I could do an individuals with those 2.
Yes.
I don't have to do that. But once it gets over that, you've got to have people to make sure I'm not doing good and something's got me and I leave. I've got to make sure somebody can go, monitor them.
Yes, sir.
You know, so there's a few idiosyncrasies between the two. But again, 95, 98% of what we do is individuals.
Is this something that you're seeing with that group type of aspect going into the AT cares and with your crisis management and behaviors? Are you seeing that grow possibly in the current landscape? We have dangerous situations with active shooters and those type of situations. Is that something that the level 2 cert would prepare you more in order to manage? No. Is that a separate one?
It's so the basic course delineation, so to speak, would be like individuals in crisis. The order I did it was individuals, then groups, then advanced groups. Then I did advanced individuals, which is basically those two are, if it goes off the rails, how do you get it back on?
Yes.
And then that was the prereq work, or three of them, we were grandfathered, three of those were the prereq work for us to be able to sit to teach the individuals.
Got it.
So we went through that certification, the AT's Care Commission, from an NATA standpoint, the districts. We went through that training in 2019, and then some kind of pandemic thing hit and kind of
screwed it all up.
Stopped everything. Yeah. And so really, if you look at anything mental health, again, as I say a lot, my crisis is not your crisis. Is an active shooter a crisis? Yes. Now, to put that in perspective, I'm not going to jinx you, but use your campus.
Yep.
Okay, we have a relationship between Memorial Hermann and Pearland ISD.
Yes, sir.
But I couldn't, after that, roll up on campus.
No, because then there would be a conflict of interest you'd have that.
Not only that, I'm not going to be allowed in.
Oh, agreed.
Okay, so if a critical incident happens, active shooter, suicide, athlete, whatever it is, okay, we can go down that list. If that happens, I'm going to get notified, and then I try to farm it out to the person closest. Because we want to try to deal in proximity, right? If it's in El Paso, I'm in Houston. I'm not the right guy.
Yeah, that's a long drive for you.
But a lot of what we do can be done on the phone.
Yes, sir.
But we want to, if somebody has to go right now, I'm the easiest one to go with my job. I can go.
Mm-hmm.
But we want proximity if possible. But I'm going to have to make sure administratively I get cleared to come on campus. So a lot of times what it is it's a contact. I really need to talk to you. I'll meet you off campus somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
So then we don't get into those issues.
Into the weeds,
right?
Yeah.
Oh, something happened. Let me just drive over there and check on athletic trainer X, Y, and Z.
Right? So one of the wisest words I've ever heard from you in our vast variety of conversation is that athletic trainers are the expert of flying by the seat of their pants.
Mm-hmm.
We can handle all types of situations. And when I first, had interactions, especially with this talk today, you always think a crisis as in our mind immediately goes towards like traumatic injury of some sort on the field and whatever that case may be. And the first thing that comes to mind is words of wisdom that you've said that athletic trainers can process that information, can management and basically hold it down. But it's that AT cares aspect that's helping us manage it at a later date.
Well, okay. So let's go with that.
Yeah.
So C-spine injury happens at school somewhere. Okay. The game stops for the care, but the game's probably going to go on because we don't know that's truly C-spine and what all we suspect, right? We don't have imaging.
The grief comes at a later point.
Right. So the game's going to go on, right? Now, I'm old. There was a time I'm covering what's now 6A football by myself.
Yeah, there's no moment.
Right? And so you got to go, okay? And so it comes in 24, 48, 72, 5, who knows, right? So what we try to do is get notified once we know it happens. We don't always know it happens.
Of course.
Right? And then get to somebody with proximity that can call and say, hey, I understand this occurred. I'm with AT's Care. Do you have some time to talk about it? Well, I'm fine. I'm good. Okay. Can I call you in a couple days?
Just to follow up.
Follow up, right? And sometimes that's hard. The first 2 years, I did all but one in D6, Texas and Arkansas, for those people that don't know. I would need to call to use him. I need to call Jeremy in 2 weeks or a week, but I got two new ones. Jeremy's on the back burner.
Yeah.
Okay, and then I needed to call you, and I got another one. And then I needed to call her, but I've got two more. So all y'all have been left out in the wind, not by on purpose, but I've got more. So now that I was able to add team members, it takes a lot off your plate. So it's like, hey, Joseph, can you take this one? Yep, it's yours. Go with it. And we have standard operating procedure, right? Here's the do's and the don'ts. Here's what we want you to do if possible. It's your job, if you took it, to follow up, right? Because I can't do that on 80 of them.
See, and I think it's amazing, you know, kind of putting a little bit of my advocacy here while I go into the next question. You know, that Gather program that NATA has been working on and managing is an opportunity for younger professionals, middle-aged professionals, season-aged professionals, whatever age, to kind of find more mentorship and guidance. We're seeing in this profession that we constantly move across state borders or different areas. And for instance, my mentor is always a text away, but sometimes these people don't have those relationships. And I think that Gather program, if could be more integrated with AT Cares in some form and fashion.
It can, but you got to be careful because number one, you need to be trained, right?
Yes.
You've got to be trained. And also, as I talked about out there, you need to know when it's beyond you. Mm. But also, no offense to a younger professional.
Agreed.
Okay. If I have a critical incident happen to me, I don't want somebody 1 year out of school.
Oh, agreed.
No offense again, they don't have the lived trials and tribulations and the battle scars. Right?
Yes, sir.
And so I want somebody that's like, you know, I've dealt with a lot of stuff. Again, I'm not bringing my crisis into your crisis.
Yes, sir.
But
there's relatability.
Yeah. And so I want somebody with 5 years experience or more to be on the team.
Yes. And I'll kind of rephrase it to the fact that I was stating that young professionals can use it to find more seasoned professionals.
Yes, exactly.
To kind of collaborate off
each
other.
And so my second point to that, and Jeremy's heard me rail on, you've heard me rail on mm-hmm. it. Social media is not a mentor. Social yes. media is a cesspool. Get somebody that you can pick up the phone and call
and communicate.
Or text, meet and have an adult beverage, whatever, and be willing to take the criticism when it's warranted if you screwed up.
So I'm going to take the next question and kind of into a 180. The AT Cares, helping with the athletic trainer to athletic trainer. But on the flip side, we have a crisis on our campus.
Mm-hmm.
As an athletic trainer who tends to be that and the school counselor, the first point of contact, let's say, for a student athlete who's trying to grieve in their own way with
right.
that crisis, at what level, other than, you know, flying by our seat of our own pants, waiting to know when to refer, I learned a lot from this lecture about things I can do with my athletes. But my question to you, because you are more the expert than me, what is the best method for me to find that definite, defined grief so that I can counsel them and point them in the correct direction?
Don't counsel program? Them, number one. You're not okay. trained to do that. You're trained to listen. Anybody can listen, right? And again, me having diarrhea of the mouth, just being
yes.
able to vent may be the only thing myself or them need.
Okay.
Okay, number two, they're a minor.
Mm.
It's a different animal.
Even with the consent of the physical, but with the mental aspect, it can be
I can
be a
listen
concern.
To you. But I'm probably going to tell you, hey, come talk to me tomorrow. If we're struggling.
Bring in a counselor, bring in an AP, bring
right.
in mom, bring in coach, other people that he has a relationship
with. You are not
with.
A mental health professional. You're an athletic trainer. And we want to help people. That's what we do in our profession. But I've got it. It's the same thing. I need to refer them to a doctor. They tore their ACL. They're struggling mentally. I need to get them to somebody else that's better able to deal with this.
Yes, sir.
It's the same thing. So, you know, again, we want to help them. I'll talk to you and I'll counsel. No, because it can cause problems.
Yes, sir.
You know?
Yes, sir.
So.
And I guess one of the last major questions I had, because I figured you'd be on a little bit of a soapbox about it. You alluded to it a little bit in the presentation. It's something that I've strived as a young man with young married couple trying to make sure I have my avoid my secondary loss.
Mm-hmm.
So kind of give you the floor and we can kind of bounce ideas off from it. But what is step one in managing your secondary loss for your loved ones?
I think try to have your affairs in order.
Okay.
All right. If you don't have a will and you have children, they're at the mercy of the state, okay? And so you can do a will online unless you own a business and some other things. And so have a will, have life insurance. It's not my job to tell you how to do your will or how much life insurance to have. My job is to tell you to have it. What are your burial wishes? Okay, I joke about my mom wanting to be cremated and dumping her ashes out the car window, but she has her wishes. So we know what she wants done. Well, did she want to be cremated or would she want to be buried? But my mom and dad aren't married anymore, so really, where are we going to put her?
Yeah.
Buy your plot. If you know, it seems bad to talk about it, but you got to talk about it.
But it's a conversation that needs to happen.
It needs to be had. Okay. I don't know the status of I kind of know the status of Jeremy's, you know, parents' structure, but I don't know yours. But hey, you know, do you have these things ready to go? You know, where are your passwords?
Yes.
Okay, I can tell you for an example. My mother, she's in a retirement community in Longview. My sister lives outside of Longview. I live here in Houston, obviously. So she had bank stuff in two different banks in safety deposit boxes, one in Houston, one up there. well, what if something happens where it's down here, but I'm out of town?
Yeah.
And I'm not necessarily out of town. You need me? Okay. Hold that thought. What happens if I'm out of state?
Yeah.
Okay. And I got to go fix the slide and I'll come back. But so it doesn't work, right? So it needs to be centralized. Do you have access to their bank account?
Yeah.
Because if not, they're going to freeze it.
Yes, sir.
How many death certificates do you need?
Yes, sir. I know. I learned a lot from that. Bubba talked to me and counseled me on that a little bit as he had to step out for the emergency. My father-in-law passed away unexpectedly, and that was something me and my wife learned at 24 and 23. He lived in Canyon Lake. We were in Houston jumping back and forth. And that same type of concept, you know, we went into his house and it was nowhere prepared for those things. Had to get a probate lawyer. I'm moving at the same time. So as a young man who had no concept of life insurance on my own, it was chaotic. So I appreciated Bubba for that opportunity.
Yep. And that's something actually Bubba and I have been talking about. We're kind of going to create a series around that topic of what to do as far as will. You know, I follow Dave Ramsey, and so he talks about Mama Bear forms, legal forms, so you can do that on there, or LegalZoom, super easy, do it online. It basically is fill in the blank. And that at least gets you started. And maybe it's not perfect, but definitely have that. Talk to your parents about that. It's conversations 100%. I've had with both of my parents. I don't know that they followed through yet, but I've had the conversations multiple times. And, you know, those things are important. Like you said, the passwords, you know, my wife knows where all mine are. My kids know where all of them are, that kind of thing. I use LastPass. It keeps all of the passwords for everything.
Yeah, I've heard of that.
So some people use like keychains and iPhone, that kind of thing.
It kind of goes hand to hand in the whole retirement stuff. That's something that I never heard about until I started applying for jobs. It was crazy. So, which is a whole separate soapbox. I mean, that could be a whole separate conversation about your retirements, your IRA, your investments, your this, your TRS. I mean, all the way across the board.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, you got to know what those are for your parents as well. Like you was talking about, you're talking about the secondary loss. All of that stuff is important so that in the middle of one of your busy seasons, you're not being pulled away and, you know, missing the important parts of your job because somebody else didn't take care of business. Yeah. Just start that conversation now with those people that you love because it's kind of irresponsible for them to not do that and leave that pile of mess on you.
I mean, it's a generational gap. It's stuff my parents talk about all the time that their parents, and it slowly we're shortening that gap, but that's something that, you know, 2-3 generations ago was just not a concept.
Right.
There was less identity theft. There was less negativity in the world. So I'm excited to see what happens in the next generation. Before we know it, we're going to have a will by the time we're born, like a birth certificate. That's my assumption to going forward.
I don't know about all that now, but
so do
you have? You're married. You own a house.
I do not have my will. I know that Bubba's called me out on it.
So then, like today, by the end of the day, maybe tomorrow. You know, so I know you said you know wife's on a trip or something like that, but it should be super simple right now.
No,
one of the things that we did was we had one before we had kids, and then after we had our second kid, we did it. But now that we have 5 kids, we need to redo it. But in the second one, we put any future kids.
So that was something me and my wife both, you know, we're handling our retirement. That was my first step, handle the retirement. We got the house. We have some assets. That was the next step. We both have life insurance. They're both with contingencies of different health insurances. I had it all set up on retirement. I was like, when I get old, well, the concept of what if I don't get old never crossed my mind. You know, that was an arrogance of mine that I definitely am working towards ratifying. And these are conversations with Bubba. I mean, he comes by my campus about twice a week or twice a month, depending on his availability. And I end up talking to him a whole athletic period. And you can ask my coworkers. It's kind of a problem. But it is what it is. And I learn something new from that guy every time.
It's exactly it. I mean, when you have Bubba, you got to plan for at least an hour.
At least an hour.
And that's if you don't say anything and he just talks.
Yeah, we're talking about you coming to visit us.
I can tell you
book an hour.
Some of the best growth has come from those three-hour long cops.
Personal, professional, mental.
Or that ten-hour drive to Fort Davis. So.
Would you rather?
All right, so you got a few more minutes. Christina's in here. She's about to interview Will, so you got a few minutes to.
I'm all out of questions. I didn't know if you had any other final comments, Bubba.
So you've got to go through all that, and then if you have kids, okay, what if one's an adult and one's still a minor? You got to change the will, right? Mm. So you got to think of all these things in that. Okay, I had access to going to the bank account thing. I had access to the one in Houston, but my sister didn't. But what if she needed that?
Yeah.
So we've consolidated one bank. Both of us have access. But, you know, how do you pay your bills?
Oh, it was a pain. I can tell you from personal experience. Okay. I talked about mine while you were gone.
Yeah. How do you pay your bills? Well, what if they pay them online? Well, I don't have login access. I don't have that information. I can't change anything because I don't have death certificates yet.
And you don't, and no one in the company will talk to you because you're not a letter or a power of attorney, or right. you're not able to ratify right. information. Right. You got okay. no proof.
What about living will? What about DNRs? Okay, mm-hmm. and I know one of my other team members lost their father, and she bought her mom a book that, hey, write all this crap down. What are your bank account numbers? Where are they? You know, do you have a safety deposit box? Where's the key? What blah blah blah. You need to know that. Mm-hmm. You know, my daughter, we have a safe. She knows everything's in there. Go dig in there and find it. Okay.
It's in there. But figure it out.
Yeah, it's not, I mean, it's not crowded with stuff, but it's in there. It's locked up in there. You know, who's the attorney, you know, that did the will? Because if there's a problem, you can always contact them. They've mm-hmm. got it filed. But we don't think about this stuff. We don't talk about this stuff. And again, we should talk about this. Because if we want to mitigate, we can't not have it. But if we want to mitigate secondary loss and excessive grief because we can do it by taking care of our stuff. If we don't take care of our stuff, we're screwing our loved ones over by not handling our affairs.
Mm-hmm.
And by handling our own affairs, we ought to be able to be adult enough to talk to our own parents and loved ones and go, without going, you should do this. You say, where's all the information? I've got a packet of stuff about my mother. So does my sister. Okay. But, you know, her handwriting sucks now, so now I'll make her type it out. But, you know, but again, you need to have that conversation. Mm-hmm. And it's not my job to tell you what to have, life insurance-wise or whatever. It's my job to tell you, you might want to think about doing these things,
mm-hmm.
right? Because you're putting, again, if my wife and I died in a car wreck, okay, we've put everything that we think we needed in place. My daughter knows where all that information. She knows the bank account number, the you know, the login, the this login for that. You know, I needed to, you know, she needs to cancel Netflix. She's got that information to be able to cancel Netflix, right? So it's not just accruing on a credit card that she hadn't, you know, shut off yet because she needed a death certificate to be able to do that.
Mm.
You know,
subscriptions.
Yeah, and so
you can't cancel Netflix. You can't. You can't find the button. You can't cancel it. So,
I don't know if I've ever seen the button. To be honest,
well, never mind. I'm not gonna say, you know. But
and this is why Bubba's here for like 3 hours.
Yeah, but
yes,
but
agreed.
But it's all those things, and the you know, I went to a class when I was doing this, originally putting this talk together. I went to a class that our clinical director turned me on to, and I was about 75% done with my talk, and then this lady talked, and I went, nope, I'm about 2% done. I changed everything, and the secondary loss. To me, is the biggest issue. Loss, the primary loss sucks,
mm-hmm.
but the primary loss is going to be exacerbated if we allow this secondary loss to sit there, and that's going to be even worse sometimes because we didn't handle our affairs, and that's somewhat being selfish.
Agreed.
How about that? That wasn't even an hour.
I know.
So take that.
Because I muted you.
Thoroughly impressive.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, you left for about 10 minutes. So, I mean, maybe that would have rolled
in. I had to go start the next presentation.
Do you have somewhere you would send somebody to look at this stuff? You have a website?
No. This is what I'm working on right now. So what I want to do.
Yeah, just, we mentioned that like that we want to do a series about the.
Well, yeah. The what steps. I want to do is I want to do a presentation. And I want team members of AT's Care, I want D6, that have lost loved ones. So one of my buddies I went to college with. He's not one of my team members, but I'm going to use him. His mom died. He goes, well, I know where she keeps her checkbook and where her bills are because he goes, she doesn't pay bills the way I do. So I had to sit there and look at it for a little bit and figure it out. But he had access to everything. He goes, so it was 10 minutes. It wasn't bad. He goes, but I just had to go, okay, this is how it's done. But what if she didn't have him on the checking?
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
Now that changes. And so I want to get people that have dealt with it and say, here's what I've learned. Here's what we've done different now with the loss of this loved one in my family, right? And do it that way. And just, again, throw it out there. You must do it this way. No. Think about this.
So what's the date your publisher has set for that talk?
It hasn't. It's in the planning stages right now.
Planning stages. All right, we need to set a deadline.
That's what I was asking about on using Google Docs or something for videos. So, yeah.
All right, so look for that coming out from Bubba, and I'm sure we'll talk about it. And again, it's something that I would love to be part of the conversation and sharing that, whether that's through the podcast or whatever.
We can do that.
Something that's really been a while. Important. So, all right, Joseph, best way to get a hold of you?
You can find me on Instagram, ATSki_Mojo. I'm a Mueller brand ambassador. I'm an advocate for this profession. I currently sit on the executive board on SWATA, so you can email me at SWATAmemberatlarge@gmail.com. You want to talk about volunteers, and you want to talk about the profession, you want to talk about how I have an old soul and I can talk all day, I will not allow dead space. So if you need anything, please let me know.
Bubba, best way to get a hold of you?
You knew it. You know it better than me, and I can't remember it.
ATC Bubba, Bubba ATC LAT, something like that on Twitter.
Yeah.
I forget. He's a creeper. He'll read your tweets, but he doesn't ever tweet.
I don't think I have any, well, I don't think anybody really cares what I have to say, and I don't post my life on social media. So.
All right, Sydney, what if somebody wants to get a hold of you? Behind the camera.
She's looking it up.
Yeah, I'm like, I don't remember it. I wasn't prepared. My Instagram is SydneyHayes95.
SydneyHayes95. There you go. If you can't find that, then find ATC Mojo. We'll connect you somehow or another.
If you can't find it, email Jeremy. He's got it all somewhere.
I got it all somewhere. Or I can, whatever. I don't know. All right. So for Jeremy, Bubba, Joseph, Sydney, and the Sports Medicine Update 2023 and crisis behavior, that is a wrap. Thanks.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh. The joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit EnergyCitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.